at Voices Radio Network.
Drugs and Stuff is for informational, educational purposes only. Welcome back to Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland. This show is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. Our code is ADVICES, and if you use that, you'll let them know that you support what we are doing here. Dave, I haven't talked to you in forever, man. What's been going on, brother?
Been busy, mate. Been on the road and going to be on the road again for the next sort of 2-3 weeks, really.
Really? You told me. So where did you just come from, first of all?
Last week I was down south.
South. That means like Alabama to me.
No, okay. I was in the vicinity of London.
Okay.
So I traveled down Wednesday, did some BTs during the day, and then did a seminar at Underground Gym on the Wednesday evening, and then drove up to Maidstone, which is just outside of London, just up the M26, I think it is.
Did you say this gym's called Underground?
Yeah, the gym's called Underground.
Is it is the gym underground, or is it because
it's cool? It's quite a big open space, actually, but it's a nice gym.
Okay.
It's a bit of a conflict as a gym, I think, because it's got a nice cafe upstairs as well, a nice healthy food cafe upstairs, which is really nice, and the staff are all, to be honest, really, really helpful. But
it doesn't sound too underground.
It's a bit of a hardcore setup, but it's more of a keep fit environment, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
So they're not particularly ingratiating about big sweaty grunty people doing big sweaty grunty things.
Right.
So we were informed that though they would allow, particularly because I was training some of their staff, that they would allow the training to go ahead this time, but they'd appreciate it didn't repeat more than once a month because they didn't want to upset the customer base.
Wow, man, that's uncomfortable right there.
No, I mean, I understand, you know, at the end of the day, these businesses are businesses, and if their client base is a more broad spectrum, then you've got to appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay.
I did get to play in a track hawk, though, which was fun.
In a what?
Track hawk.
I don't even know what that is.
That is the new Grand Jeep Cherokee with the Demon engine in it.
So it's fast?
700 and odd brake.
Really? So where did you get this opportunity?
The showroom's two doors down and they've got one.
Oh, okay.
And I was a bit early, and as I was driving down towards the gym, I saw this pull in.
Yeah.
And I'd already contacted Jeep a month before to say I wanted to test drive one, but they don't have one local to me.
So you're not happy with the car you got, is what you're telling me?
No, not at all. I just fancy trying a 700 brake horsepower car and see what it felt like.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
In 4x4 version. That thing's just mental. It's just absolutely mental. And so we did the seminar that evening. Then I did I did paperwork the next morning, then I did the police presentation, and then I did two more PTs the following evening, and then I did more police work the Friday morning, then I did an interview for TV on steroids in amateur rugby.
Oh, huh.
And then I did another two seminars, and then I went down. Well, I did one seminar. Sorry, not seminar. I did one PT there. Then I went around to King's Gym at Croydon and bumped into James Hollingshead.
Hell yeah! How is he doing?
He looks incredible.
Yeah,
he looks fantastic. Yeah, and he seems to be. You know, I think he's about 11 weeks out.
Yeah, Toronto.
But he's kept so lean this off season. And Nathan Harmon was there as well. I don't know if you'll be aware of Nathan Harmon.
No, who's that?
He's a prep coach, goes by the name The Wizard.
Okay, cool.
He used to prep Ricardo, and he used to prep Sean Joseph Stefania.
Okay, wow. No, I hadn't heard of him before. I'll have to look him up. The Wizard, huh?
Yeah, I just had a bit of a chat with James as he was training back.
Nice.
And that was the end of that week. And then paperwork over the weekend, a bit of family shit and all that crap. Did a bit of gardening. Fuck's sake. I'm getting ready to seed bankings around my pond and plant my pond. So I'm having to prep all that. And then Tomorrow, well, very early tomorrow. So I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I fly out to Iceland.
Yeah, okay. So Iceland, have you been there before?
I have, for a long time ago, 15 years ago, last time I was in Iceland.
The one thing people tell me, because there's a new airline, I can't remember who it is out here, that's done Iceland trips for very cheap from the US. But what I hear, it's very expensive. That's what everybody always tells me. Iceland is expensive to be there. Is that true?
McDonald's pulled out because they couldn't afford to stay there.
Wow. Huh. Country with no McDonald's. The only place I think I've been to is Belize that had no McDonald's.
2009, I believe. They have a KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, but
Okay.
they don't have a McDonald's. It's a very expensive country. It's a mad place, and the people are really friendly, but they are all a bit bonkers.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
I'm doing a seminar at Magnus's gym, who Magnus Ver Magnussen from World's Strongest Man.
Oh, wow. Nice, man.
So I'm doing a seminar at his place, and then I've got three clients over there I'm seeing.
Okay.
And then doing a bit of sightseeing, so the wife's coming with me.
Oh, beautiful, man. That's perfect.
So we're staying in the Viking village.
Okay. You'll fit right in then. That's your kind of jam right there. You look
And
like
we'll
a
see.
Viking, Dave. You know that? You look like a Viking.
I don't know about that. So that's this week. And then next week I'm up Scotland
Nice.
for the military and doing some work in the prisons. And then the week after I'm back down south for the police and the military.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a bit all over the place at the moment. And I'm dieting and I'm grumpy and I hate the world and everybody in it. And
Wait a minute.
I've got another dog.
Wait a minute. You just threw a bunch of stuff at me all at once here. Let me back up. First of all, okay, you got a dog. I want to talk about that. But dieting. So last time I asked you about your weight, it was the episode that we had Luke Sando on with us, and you said you were at about 330 at the time. So that means you were like 30 pounds up from when I saw you talk to you at your lightest. What happened now? What made you decide you were going to start dieting again?
Because I stopped dieting.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
To be honest, it was work and everything, and I just let things slip. And I was like, you know what? I can't keep making excuses. I've just made the effort. So I actually give Vicky a ring. You know Vicky Masita?
Absolutely, great lady.
And I said, look, Vicky, I need someone to answerable. So you're going to do it that way. Well, if she was willing, then that way you can bollock me when I don't behave.
There you go. Okay.
And so
Little
she's got.
tiny Vicky is going to keep you in line.
Yes. So that's the situation. So I've dropped about 9 pounds over the
Nice.
last weeks.
Over the last, I'm sorry, how many weeks? 2 weeks. Okay.
Bit of water in that as well.
Sure.
And I mean, training is quite consistent now when I can go. So. Yeah, I just thought, you know what, it's probably a good time to try and get all this wrapped together and finally get this done properly and stop playing at it.
Hell yeah.
Because I've had a couple of bashers, but they've never been, 4 weeks in, 5 weeks in, it's been like, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, oh, bollocks to it, then diet can wait a couple of days. And you know what it's like, just bad habits creep back in then because you're busy and you don't have time. And I thought, where I'm going, I just sat down and thought, where are my weaknesses?
Yeah.
Where am I? What's and the weakness is me. Because if I'm doing my diet, then I'll manipulate it. If someone else does my diet, then I'm answerable to them. I can't manipulate it. That's how my brain works. I'll do
Yeah.
what I say. So I just said, just put something together basic. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. This is the calories we're looking at. This is the sort of protein we're looking at, and crack on. And she's done that. And then it just means now. I have to answer to her, so I behave myself.
That makes sense. So you're dieting. A similar question I asked you before about the insulin. How much tren are you on and how much T3?
All of it.
All of it?
All of it.
You're keeping the doses high. Good. Good. I like to hear
Yes,
that just out the gate.
I've taken tren and more tren
Okay.
with a daily shot of tren and a pre-bed shot of tren and a pre-training shot of tren.
Do you use all the esters?
I use everything.
Good, because that's you got to use all the esters to get the real effect from tren.
Just do me TRT, that's it, nothing else.
Fair enough, fair enough, man.
No fat burners, no nothing. Don't need them when you're as fat as I am, mate. It's ridiculous. I mean, this isn't an effort from a point of view of hardship to do. It's just being organized was my problem.
Sure. No, I totally get that.
And I just needed someone to be in the background to go, oi, fuckface, why haven't you done that? And as soon as that happened, everything just clipped into place straight away, and I was like, this is easy now.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
So, travel on. And then my wife's gone and rescued a bulldog from somebody. So
you got another bulldog?
Only for a few weeks, yes. Well, I didn't know if I told you, we're involved with a rescue association called the Edward Foundation that specialise in rescuing bulldogs.
I don't think so.
And we act as fosters for them. And that's how Buster, the dog that got put down, came about, because we fostered him.
Okay.
And he was assessed that he was too aggressive and too unpredictable to go into a family home.
Mm.
So unfortunately, in those situations, the general rule of thumb is the dog would be put down.
Yeah. And you probably felt terrible. You didn't want that to happen.
It's not a nice situation, but the foundation's got to look at the fact is that they have to pay for this dog.
Yeah.
And this is a dog that's a burden. They can never do anything with it, yet they could potentially rehome several other dogs out of the cost it would take to maintain that dog. So we said we'd take him on.
Okay.
But that then meant we couldn't foster anymore.
Okay.
So obviously, since he has demised, we've ended up now with this one in place that we're fostering until they find him a permanent home.
Okay.
But he's as mad as a box of frogs.
What do you mean?
I went for bulldogs because they're slow and lazy like me, and they don't need walking much, and they're easy in that sense, and they'd rather sleep on the sofa in front of the fire than go out in the wet and rain, which is perfect for me. I really like that lifestyle. Great.
Okay.
This thing, I think, has been mixed with a fucking kangaroo.
Yeah. Okay.
He's just bonkers. I was sat last night with our last watching a little bit. We just sat in front of TV for half an hour before we went to bed. And the other bulldog sat between us, snoring his head off asleep, and this thing's trying to sit on my head.
Mm.
It's just nuts. Absolutely nuts. But so he'll probably be with us about a month or so before, you know, get him calmed down, make sure medically he's all okay, because he hadn't had his injections and a fair few other bits and bats. So we're getting all that sorted. And then he'll go off to some family that wants to adopt him as a permanent dog.
Nice, man. So you're going to help facilitate that situation is what you're doing.
Yes.
I like that. That's nice of you.
Didn't really have a lot of choice. I just got a phone call. Oh, we've got another dog. What?
I was looking for our thread that we had with all of our slang in it.
But oh yeah,
I can't find it now. I can't remember who sent it. So it's totally lost. I'm gonna have to do some digging.
Whoever sent it, please send it again.
Yes, yes, please do.
Scott is useless.
Apparently I am. Well, here's the thing. I took a screen cap of it all, but that was, I don't even remember when, Dave. That was like a month ago. Do you know how many Instagram pictures I've shot and how many videos I've taken since then? How many selfies I've done in the gym since that time?
That's the problem when you're an insta-hoe.
Wait, what did you just call me?
An insta-hoe.
Yeah, I can't find this for the life of me. It's gone. It's just freaking gone. I can't remember now. Can't remember what his name was.
Folders, young man. Pull this stuff out that's important and put it in folders.
Yeah, I call bollocks on that.
Oh, I'm terrible. Honestly, I sat here searching through hard drives on computers trying to find something that I know I had. I just don't know where I put it.
I bet. Well, hey, listen, with that said, I will find those eventually, and we will do more slang words of the day. Let's get to a break. We've got a whole bunch of questions. Everybody came through, by the way, Dave. We asked for questions. We got questions. So we've got a bunch of stuff we can answer. What do you say we take a quick break?
No problem.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. Oh, hey, wait. Don't hit that fast forward button. I'm going to talk about our sponsor for just a minute, and I'm going to say some stuff that you haven't heard me say before. You want to know what I'm going to say, don't you? So don't hit that button. All right, so here's the deal. I got some new flavors. I had been using the strawberry sorbet Team Skip, and I decided I'm going to switch it up. You know what I say, like, try something different, right? Do something different. I'm going to get the raspberry strudel this time. So I placed that order last night, and it should be on the way. So raspberry strudel Team Skip, along with, I want to try the intra-workout carb, the MPA muscle intrusion. So that's a lemon ice flavor. That sounds delicious. I ordered a pound of that. I'm excited to see what this stuff's all about. Oh, also, I ordered some pea protein for my girlfriend. Yeah, I've got a girlfriend, and I'm bragging about it on this commercial. And Betsy's in here, too. Things are falling apart quick. So, yeah, guys, this is our True Nutrition commercial today, and expect me to start making different random commercials like this all the time. So, guys, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for supporting our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code ADVICES. All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about Dave Crossland, and then we'll get back to the show. Hey guys, I wanted to take this break to say thanks to Dave for everything he's doing here at ADVICES Radio, and thanks to Dave for everything he's doing for bodybuilding as a whole. You guys can check out more of his stuff. Go visit his website. It's crosslands.org.uk. That's crosslands.org.uk. Crosslands Harm Reduction Service specializes in providing concise, informative, and effective drug training to a wide range of professions, as well as advice to individual users. You guys can also check Dave out on his YouTube page, which is in the show notes, and also go to underconstructionthefilm.com to purchase the films today. Use the code ADVICES25 for a discount. Guys, welcome back to Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland. We're over at the thread. We go to forum.advicesradio.com. We're taking questions in the bodybuilding section. There are stickies for all the shows. We're going to start out with a Dear Davey here. This is a good one, too. Got me thinking. I'm curious to hear what you have to say about this, Dave. He says, Dear Davey, how do you address a situation where your partner changes so much physically that you're no longer sexually attracted to them? Examples would be the woman who gains an incredible amount of weight post-childbirth, the male who goes from skinny twig to the jacked bodybuilder, and every variation in between. Your love for the person doesn't decrease because they are who they've always been, and that hasn't changed, but because of their appearance, there is no longer a physical desire. That's a tough one, man, and probably a heartbreaking place to be in for somebody that really loves a person, you know?
Yeah, and for both sides as well, because, I mean, you know, it's probably fairly obvious to a partner that someone's no longer physically attracted to them. It's not something that in an intimate relationship is easy to hide.
Yeah.
A lot, I suppose, depends on the circumstances of the change. A bit of baby weight post-pregnancy is generally a temporary situation. So that may just be a case of, you know, support, and as particularly if the person is very vocal about the fact that they have a desire to go back to where they used to be.
Yeah.
I would suspect it's very difficult when it's illness related.
Hmm. Yeah, because then you'd feel like a dick, you know?
Well, yeah, because you've got the person's got no choice.
Right. Same with the baby weight, I guess.
Yeah, and this... I think you're going to have to talk. But then again, the decision to talk is going to have to be based on around whether the situation is changeable. If you've got a situation where a partner's changed their shape and physique through neglect... for whatever reason, then that's a physical situation, but they're going to need your support to do it. So if they've got depressed, they've got run down,
yeah,
you know, post baby blues, do you want to get back to where you used to be? And if the answer is yes, then work together and support and help them get there. If someone's changed direction because they want to change direction.
Yeah. Like he mentioned somebody who grew a bunch of muscle because they wanted to get big, but maybe you don't like someone who's jacked or something, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it takes all sorts, doesn't it? There's people that like being sat on by really fat people, and there's people that like really skinny people. It's what makes the world of variety, is because we all have different tastes and likes.
There's people that like to see people step on rodents with sharp heels. I've heard this recently.
That's an odd thing to say, Scott.
It's the truth, though. There was a guy.
Have you been spending time with Luke Sandow again?
It was Ivana Ivusik, I believe. She said that that's what a guy messaged her. That's what he was into. And he was willing to pay her some money to step on a rodent with some high heels.
Okay.
At just well, point, I just wanted to throw it out there. You know, like you said, people are into different things.
I suppose there's weirder ways to die as a rodent than being stepped on by Ivana in high heels. But I think, you know, sometimes you have to accept that people's desires, relationships, situations in their life have moved on.
Yeah, yeah. That's hard right there.
And it's all down to this being honest again. You know, you can't. If you're in a situation where someone's taking their physical appearance in a certain direction and it's not your taste, then you have a simple choice to make. Can you put up with it for the sake of the rest of that person's attributes that you do enjoy or not? If you can, then crack on. If you can't, then you have to make the honest decision and say, I can't cope with that. And very often, you know, when someone does improve the physique and they get better toned or they get slimmer or leaner, it's usually a case of insecurity in the other party. So it's like, well, looking like that, all the women are going to fancy you, or looking like that, all the men are going to fancy you.
Yeah.
Then that really is an issue within yourself, and it's not your partner's problem.
Sure, absolutely.
So you can't really expect someone to not better themselves because you're too scared and insecure to deal with it.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, that's your problem. That's your issue. You can speak to your partner and explain that you find it uncomfortable and you're struggling with it. So it would help if they would potentially not bathe in the new adoration that they're getting from the general public. But that's hard. That is an addictive situation that a lot of people can get lost in very easily.
Oh, look, I've seen it happen too. And I hate to pick on the ladies more than the guys. I'm sure the guys, it's happened with guys, but I've seen it happen with women that get into competing and then they start, you know, their physique changes and they become empowered by that. And then they decide like, well, I think I could do, they win a show, they win a state level show, they go to a national level, and then they need to trade their boyfriend up for a national level boyfriend. You know, that's what it comes down to, I think, sometimes.
Well, I mean, if you're trading somebody up in that sense because you don't think they're good enough for you, then you've got above your station, then you're a fucking bitch. And if it's the male version, you're a twat, you're a bastard, because that ain't, no, come on.
Yeah.
Outgrowing someone because they're uncomfortable in your newfound popularity is one thing, but dumping someone because he doesn't fit the accessory profile,
yeah,
that's as shallow as it fucking comes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's looking at where is the problem in the fact is it me that's uncomfortable with this person doing well for themselves?
Yeah.
Which in case, well, that's an issue you need to learn to deal with. And if you can't deal with it, then it will be the end of the relationship. And sometimes it's best just to step up and go, you know what? The illness one is one I have very mixed feelings on, because there's part of me that knows that certain people just cannot cope.
Hmm.
They cannot cope with caring for somebody or being with somebody who has, for whatever reason, developed a physical or a mental illness that makes them very different to everybody else.
Yeah, I could see that.
And there's part of me that's like, you know what? I genuinely do sort of think in those situations, you need to give it a go. But if you find you just can't cope, then you need to move on, because otherwise you're just going to end up resenting the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, unless that person has a learning difficulty situation where they can't recognize what's going on, then they're going to sense that you really don't want to be there and that they're a burden to them.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I was in an accident tomorrow and I lost the use of my legs or I lost use of my arms, I would probably tell my wife that she should move on and find someone who can look after her, because I no longer can. That would be how I would view it.
Yeah. That'd be tough for her, though, too. You know, at the end of the day, it's her decision.
I would not want to make somebody miserable for the rest of their days because of a situation I found myself in.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I remember when I lived in Mexico, they had this like little it was like a running with the bulls type thing where they let the bulls down free out on the main the jardín, as they called it, the heart of the city, and people would run from them, and I thought that was so cool. And it's just kind of a side story because it reminded me of that. And I thought, like, oh, I'd love to do that if that were happening while I'm here, because I was only there for like half a year and it didn't happen. But this guy who lived there told me, he was like, you know, the thing is it sounds real macho and cool and all these young guys go and do it. And, you know, they think like, oh, well, if I get killed, I get killed. But the thing is you don't get killed. You just get maimed, and then you're no longer of value to your family anymore because you can't work. And then you just have to be cared for the rest of your life by the people that love you. And yeah, I would not. It made me stop and rethink that whole thing, man, because that'd be the worst. I could agree with you. I would not want to be in that position.
No, and I mean, I don't think anyone particularly wants to be a burden. And I think it's also difficult to watch someone you care for go downhill because they're now having to care for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or I mean, though it's nowhere near that level, when I was at my biggest, my wife was embarrassed to be seen with her.
I remember hearing that on the movie.
Mm. You know, she was embarrassed to be in public with me. She was embarrassed to be seen with me. And though that thought process hurts, it's understandable because of where I'd put myself.
Yeah, yeah. You were doing something. You looked like nobody else probably in the whole entire country, you know?
Yeah, and so it's understandable that she doesn't like that. I didn't realize how much of an impact it was having to sort of after the film.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, and I did feel particularly bad about the fact that she'd got to the point where she was embarrassed to be seen with her husband.
Yeah, I bet. But it really made you in itself rethink your, you know, how cool it would be to grow all that muscle, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's, I think, quite often with a lot of these things, when we wish for things, because we never get shown the full picture by social media and everything that's pushed our way, we never realize actually what the level of commitment and the effects that certain physical achievements would have on our bodies.
Yeah.
But it's a difficult one, and I really think the first line is communication. The second line is, if there is a solution, then support to find that solution, but under the understanding that it may just be that it's insurmountable and it has to be called a day. But the only way you're going to find that point is by being honest with each other.
Yeah.
And the more you stay in a relationship out of duty, the more you'll start to resent the other person and destroy what you did have.
Yeah. I think the key there is to be a responsible person. If you love this person and have that conversation, right? Be willing to be brave and talk.
Yeah. I mean, it's an awful thing to turn around and say to your partner, you know what, I just don't fancy you anymore.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they're not aware of it, they can't do anything about it.
I can tell you, I've been in that situation, and it took me a long time to be able to say something because I did love her very much. But it wasn't, you know, it was really by no control. There was nothing I could do about it, you know, and eventually that was the decision I had to make, was have that conversation. And believe me, man, it was hard. And it took longer than just the one conversation. It was a series of conversations that honestly took months.
It will, and quite often it will be difficult for you to convey to the partner the true understanding of what you're saying, because the general reaction, so I'm fat and ugly then, is that what it is?
Yeah.
You know, people will take that very negatively initially.
Yeah.
And it can take time. Or you can have a wife like mine that just turns around and goes, you're a fat git, lose weight.
There you go.
And that brutal honesty can be very effective as well, but that has to be implemented from day one. You can't decide to start doing that halfway through a relationship. You'll get slapped.
You can't start being brutally honest in the middle, huh?
Yeah, there are ways of obviously approaching this subject as well, which are probably less tactful than other ways.
Like, don't send it in a text. Is that what you're saying? That's one rule.
Possibly one way that's not advisable. Yes, but okay. Yeah, I mean, it is one of those conversations that there is no easy way to start.
All right,
and it is just a case of count to 10 and go for it.
All right, let's talk about some drugs. We've got drug questions here.
So is this drugs so you can cope with your partner being ugly and you're not wanting to be with them anymore, or is this a different type of drugs?
This is the tren and test prope kind of drugs. So this is from we got a couple questions from this guy. He calls himself the Bagel Ninja. What do you think of that?
The Bagel Ninja.
Yeah. Do you guys have ninjas over there?
Well, not walking down the street Saturday morning. No, I mean, no.
Sorry, I'm in a funny mood today, I guess. Here we go. Hey, guys, love the show. Quick caveat. I know 99% of results come from training and nutrition. This is just for education. I'm not looking for the secret drug protocol to get me gains. He has gains spelled with a Z in all caps and in quotations. Let's see. That being said, I've heard Mr. Crossland. He addresses you very formally. I've heard Mr. Crossland talk about stable blood levels being less than ideal. I've heard Mr. Lenore on Superhuman Radio mention the same, along with Mr. Adam Lamb. A lot of misters here. Adam Lamb is he owns a TRT company here in the States.
I'm not meaning it in a funny way, because I didn't think I was anything special in that sense, but it's the first time I've actually heard of anyone else saying that as well.
Okay.
Because we've had this preaching of blood stability for a very long time. I even was an advocate of it myself until I learned more, but it's nice to hear that there are other people that agree.
I can tell you a little bit about Adam's ideas. I'll finish the question first, though, because I talked to Adam about this on one of the shows. So he says, is there a way to manipulate dosing protocol to create a more pulsatile effect? Say someone running test prop at 150 milligrams with Trenace at 50 milligrams every other day. How could you change the dosing protocol to create less blood level stability without sacrificing results? Or would you even want to?
Personally, for me, all it would be is that one of the compounds I use would be dosed. So all depends on dosages. And it's there's a bit of a conflict here, because you put too much of a large dose in at once and you're most likely to trigger an immune response.
Okay.
And feel like shit. So basically test flow.
Right? Yeah.
That's the common phrase for it. But it is an immune response. So spacing dosing out, particularly on higher cycles, is advantageous from a point of view of being able to cope with the toxicity of the drug and the influence of the drug hitting your system.
Okay.
But obviously, the more frequent you inject, the more stable your bloods are going to be, the less peaks and troughs you're going to have.
Sure.
So if I've got a multi-compound cycle, then generally what I would do is look to run one compound in one shot for one day of the week. So for argument's sake, I'm running 400 megatren and I'm running a gram a test.
Okay. And this is what kind of test and what kind of tren?
Well, say it's just whatever, but say it's an anthate, just for argument's sake.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'd do the standard Tuesday, Thursday shots on my test.
Okay.
And then I'd dump all the tren in on a Monday in one shot. I wouldn't split it Monday, Thursday. I wouldn't split it Monday, Thursday. I'd dump all my tren in on one shot on the Monday.
Okay, so you are.
Every week I get this spike when the trend goes in that by the end of the week we'll start to taper off again.
Really? I've never heard of people doing that. I mean, I'm interested in hearing about it, but I never heard this.
I like off-season running low to medium test and medium to high deca. I really like it. It works really well for most people if everything else is on point.
Okay.
So I will space the deca out through multiple shots through the week.
Okay.
So either two or three shots in the week, but I'll dump all the testing on one shot at the beginning of the week.
Huh.
And that gives me this nice little peak, irregular spike, and just stops the body starting to upregulate with everything and keeps everything just slightly offbeat. Now, if you were running fast acting, you've got a little bit of a problem there because your half-life's going to denote your injection frequency anyway.
Yeah.
But you could just be ad hoc and every now and again, instead of doing every second day, just stretch it to every third.
Yeah.
It's just create a little bit of irregularity so the body doesn't start to upregulate its clearances.
See, now, okay, here's what I found in my own stuff, of my own experience, that if I miss a shot and I get inconsistent, if I wait too long between shots, that's when I start getting side effects. I start getting more chances of estrogen issues, and I start getting more acne. That's a big one. Like with Tren, if I start getting acne on every other day ace, I can break it down further to every day ace, and it will subside. Same dose, you know, same weekly dose, but now split right into every day, keeping it real stable. Then I'm less likely to feel the sides. Also, I feel like for just knowing myself, same thing with like psychological sides. If I were to put all the Tren in on one day, I just personally, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, I feel like
there is, with all things, there's always going to be this trade-off between what you can cope with. So it's going to have to be a balance for each individual as to how they can cope. Which is say, normally I'd use test as the spiking drug because I tend to run test medium to low.
Gotcha.
I use Tren because we were talking about test and Tren with this individual. But
okay,
yeah, and this is the problem that I said at the beginning. If you find that a single large dose causes you sides, then you need to space that dose out to reduce those sides.
Okay, so that's still priority. But then if you can, leave some variability.
It gets a little bit complex, but you can change blood levels with different compounds if you're running an oral.
Yeah,
all in once a day. Don't space it out throughout the day.
I like that. I've had some good success with that with like all my D-ball pre-workout, for instance.
Mm. Well, there's a few studies that support that as well. There are but this was on oral only, that the single dose was more effective than a split dose.
Okay.
And the reason being that blood values peak at a much higher level.
That makes sense, yeah.
You spend more time in a supraphthalmological range than you would do if it was evened out at a lower dose.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's always going to be an element of trade-off. There's always going to be this, depending on how well you can tolerate the drugs, etc.
Yeah.
And that's, unfortunately, the downside to it is it's not a one-fix-works-for-everybody sort of thing, but what I've seen with the extended use of keeping blood stable is that these people then go on to TRT and they're needing 250 a week to actually maintain normal range blood.
Yeah.
Because their body is so used to their levels being high that it's clearing the drug out so quickly that the established half-lives just don't actually exist anymore.
Mm. Adam Lamb, with his TRT stuff, they don't even do injectable. He likes the topical, and because of, he said you put that on one or two times a day, and you get little spikes constantly. So you get a little spike, just like a young. What he said is a young person's testosterone is constantly peaking and troughing, versus an older person's testosterone, like you've said, is going to be stable and just blah, you know, for an ongoing period. So
yeah,
he prefers, and he said he's used less and less that with his own testosterone replacement. He used to be into, you know, bodybuilding and taking gear, and switched to this, and he has cut his dose way back just intuitively as he's gone on, because he just didn't feel like he needed it. Sometimes he doesn't put on the second dose at all a day.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. It's more natural. This obsession with blood plasma and this obsession with keeping level doses, especially you see it a lot with TRT. I'm going to microdose every day on nth. And it's like, well, this is pointless, because all you're going to end up actually doing is causing yourself more problems long term.
Yeah.
If you're using a fast actor, you can microdose every day because you'll get that bump speed, bump, 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 up and down spike.
Yeah.
If you're using a slow ester, you're not going to get those peaks and troughs in the same manner. And all that's going to happen is your body's going to start clearing the drug out quicker. So, but you see it with TRT dosing as well. And it's like, I do one shot a fortnight. And I know I'm getting a bit low towards the end of my fortnight, but that's great, because then I get that big pike again and everything picks back up and then it just trundles on again. And it just keeps everything irregular and stops my body from adapting.
We don't use fortnight over here at all. Is that 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we don't. That's like not in our vocabulary whatsoever. If I hear somebody say that, I'm like, I know they're from the UK.
I never realized that fortnight wasn't used in America.
No, no, like never. Never used it in school or anything.
Hmm. And you learn something new every day, don't you?
Fortnights and stones. All you guys. Yeah.
Oh, well, no, just because you can't weigh properly, don't let me be, all right? Stones and pounds, lad, stones and pounds.
All right. He had another question here.
This kilo bullshit either, that metric crap can fuck off at all.
He had another question. It was addressed to me. He says, question for Mr. McNally. So I get the Mr. as well. I recently heard you talking about using CBD with THC. Is there enough THC in what you're using to provide a psychoactive effect? And if so, how do you balance that with your addiction issues? I only ask because I spent 12 to 25 years, spent from 12 to 25 years old abusing whatever I could get my hands on, primarily heroin and cocaine, clean from everything considered a hard drug since 2008. But notice now that when I smoke pot, I of course use it in an addictive manner, getting high every day after work and most of my weekend. So I don't use. I understand that we all handle things differently, but I would love to hear how you manage your addictive side while using this beneficial substance. This is a tough question for me, Dave. This is a good one.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear your answers on this. It's actually quite relevant. There was a study popped out in the UK this week about, now I might get this slightly wrong, that 30% of the people in psychiatric care wouldn't be there if they didn't smoke weed.
Really?
Yeah, hang on. While you're answering, I'll dig out the article.
All right. And you're not a fan of even really, in general, I shouldn't say you're not a fan, but I will say that you believe there is an overuse of CBD trying to deal with issues that we really should be looking at, right?
Yeah, there is. Yes, there is. I feel there is. I feel there's an overuse of a lot of things, but that is one of them, yes.
Sure. And I think you make good points about that, which was interesting to hear you say that, because everybody who talks about it is usually such a big proponent of all the benefits, you know? Let's see. So my thought is if this is a tough one, first of all, the dose that I use of THC is really small. I had worked up to like 4 milligrams, even 5 milligrams after taking it for a prolonged period of time. And I do feel like that my tolerance started getting like a tolerance to it. I know that now my friend VJ, partner at Bodybuilding Nerds Radio, he uses at least like 100 milligrams. He has a high tolerance and he's using it to get high basically. So his dosing is about 100 milligrams of THC. Versus my dosing at its highest had been 5. I know that 10 milligrams is considered the recreational minimum. Anything from 10 milligrams or above is considered recreational. I'm comfortable with about 3. And if I take that psychoactive effects, do I feel psychoactive effects? I know what it is to get high. I absolutely. The most I get out of it is I get maybe I feel like I'm in a slightly better mood, I guess, sometimes. Like, it's hard to tell. But what I mainly get is I get pain relief. I get less inflammation in areas that tend to become inflamed. And I find that I definitely sleep more sound when I'm using it. It's a tough one, though. It's a tough one because where I come from, I went to a 12-step program to get clean. And in that 12-step program, they would tell you not to use any at all. You know, that. And I am aware. I have a doctor who is an addictionologist. And if I ever need to go in for any type of pain meds, if I were to say get surgery or something, they would actually run my pain. She would handle my pain management what before the surgery and after the surgery too. And I talked to a therapist. And so the both of these people are aware of what I'm doing, and I'm keeping myself kind of in check in that way. I feel like it could become a problem, you know, if I were to not pay attention to it. If I keep it at this type of a dosing, and I decided what I had gotten a vape pen, and I felt like it was a little bit too much, so I'm not using that anymore. But I am using what I do is I use like an oral tincture, and when I use that, I can get my dosing down exactly where I want it to be and control that, and I feel pretty confident in what I'm doing. As long as I'm not feeling it, I feel like I'm okay. I've been real paranoid too, because sometimes I'm wondering, I'm like, oh, is my memory going? Am I getting any kind of side effects? So I've really been paying attention to that, and I've stopped using it for 2 weeks at a time just to kind of check myself. But overall, the main thing that I have noticed has been beneficial. It's been, like I said, I find that I've been, at times I'll feel like I'm 20 years old again in the gym, like totally pain free, just walking around with the 90 pound dumbbells in my hands and laying down on the bench and slamming them up. Not a problem. I can tell the difference in that way. But I'm not going to say that I have a final answer here, because it's something that I feel like I'm constantly reevaluating really on a day-to-day basis. And I need to be willing to understand that maybe it's not going to be part of my future. I don't know. Just due to who I am, I feel like I could do the same things this guy has. And in the past, I had stopped using drugs, and I didn't use drugs all, you know, through my life, but I would have periods of using. And when I did, I would go down hard and fast. And there were times when I would start out by thinking like, oh, I'm just going to smoke some pot after work. And then much like him, it's like every day after work, I would smoke pot and, all weekend long. And then before you know it, I'm thinking, well, I get a little anxiety from this. Why don't I take some Valium with that too? And then of course it just gets worse and worse, and I head down a bad, bad path. So I'm just trying to keep that in check. I don't feel like I have control over addiction. I feel like it's something I have to recognize I'm always going to be powerless over. And that's the reason that I do want to constantly stay vigilant that it could turn into a bad thing. So I don't want to get too comfortable with it, I guess. But that's kind of my rambling answer. And I know I don't have anything super definitive, but that's where I stand at least today, Dave.
Okay. One thing, addictionologist, is that a real thing?
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah,
she's never heard that. That's the coolest job title ever. Yeah, I'm an addictionologist.
She's a medical doctor. You know, she's who I go to get my lab work done now. Who I go to, you know, for any kind of my blood pressure medication and stuff. And like I said, she understands the way addiction works. So if I needed to get put on pain management for, you know, post-surgery, or even to be, medicated after surgery in the hospital, she's the one that they would turn to her, because she would know how to do it.
I mean, they say with an addiction, you're never cured. You just learn to manage it. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely, man. It's in my personality. I believe my addiction started long before I began using drugs. It's in the way that I think. And I could abuse anything, you know, including, like, I remember when I was a teenager playing video games, and I could get really obsessive with that, or, you know, with aspects of school, you know, various things, positive or negative, that I could get obsessed, including bodybuilding, you know.
It's a case of trying to manage it. But even a positive thing can become a negative thing if you do it too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man.
I have this problem with cake.
Right. Hey, food could be an addiction, no question.
Yeah, true. Definitely. Definitely. funny you mention addiction. I've been looking this week at a little Russian product called, now, God, I'm going to...
It's called Crocodile? Don't use it.
No. Sealank.
Sealank.
Or Sealank.
Sealank. What's this?
S-E-L-A-N-K. No doubt some clever dick's going to message in and say, he said it wrong, it sounded like this.
Yeah.
but it's a Russian peptide that has passed all clinical trials and is now going into production.
Okay.
And it improves memory. It reduces anxiety. It has an antiviral and anti-inflammatory effect as well. And it's proven to be very successful as a support medication in those suffering withdrawal from drug addiction.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's a peptide.
It's a peptide, yes.
Interesting.
And apparently you can't OD on the stuff. So studies have gone as high as 500 times required dose.
Okay.
With no real adverse effects, but the recommended dose is around 500 micrograms up to 3 milligrams per day for a period of 10 days minimum, but can be ongoing.
Okay.
But yeah, it seems really interesting stuff. I've been having a bit of a look at that this week. It was just funny you mentioned it. I've actually looked into it to try and help my daughter with her weed issues.
Keep me posted as to what you find out about it. I just saw my doctor not too long ago, or else I had to ask her about it. But that, yeah, keep me posted as to what you hear.
I mean, the use as a support drug for recovering addicts is a bit of an off-script type setup that it's being used in, but it's showing some good promise. There's no negatives. It's being passed as it stands. I mean, I don't believe there's no negatives. There'll always be a negative somewhere.
Yeah.
Of some nature, but there's no really severe adverse side effects, which will probably mean that its action is quite mild as well. I don't think it's going to be super, super strong.
Hmm.
But yes, it'd be interesting to see. I've got some coming, so I will use the little guinea pig and let you know how she gets on.
Okay. And do you want to add anything else, or are you ready to move on?
No, I mean, you know, that's something that's addiction is a very personal thing, and I think it's very much down to the individual as to how they can or can't manage it. And sometimes it's a case of just continuing to supply what they crave, but just in a controlled manner.
Hmm. I think with him, he's making a smart move too. Like he said, he knows he can't smoke weed, you know,
yeah.
So he just stays away from it now.
Well, it's you know, same with my diet. I recognize I can't manage my own diet because I'll cheat on myself. So
yeah.
I get somebody else. So, that's one of the things, isn't it? You know, we all have weaknesses. It's not about having a weakness that's the problem. It's about not recognizing that weakness. And because if you recognize a weakness, you can then plan around it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've proper diet now, 2 weeks, no cheats, no intention of having one. Even when I go out there next week, luckily one of the clients owns a catering business, so I've sent him my diet and every meal's boxed up, sat there waiting for me when I arrive.
Okay.
Because I know if I have a cheat, that'll be that day will be absolutely bollocked.
Hmm.
So recognize your weaknesses and work yourself around it. You know, if you know you've got a drug problem, addicted personality, and you say, well, you know what, I'm not smoking weed, but when I get stressed now, I go have a drink. Well, no, you're not going to be smoking a shitload of weed, but you're going to be a pisshead.
Right.
You can't replace one drug with another drug, really. You know, you be very, very careful when you use drugs to manage a drug problem or you use a substance to manage a stressful situation.
Right.
It's all right going to a less harmful product for a period of time, but you've still got to work on fixing the underlying causes or managing at least the underlying causes. And that's what a lot of us don't do. We move on to something because it solves the issue. And then we forget we have an issue.
Right.
Which one of my concerns about CBD.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that. All right, I'm going to move on to one more question here to wrap us up for the day. This is from Big Adam 73. He says, "Hey guys, I'm on doctor prescribed TRT at 100 milligrams of test sip every week. Between required blood work for my doctor, I like to up my dosage to 300 milligrams of test sip every week. My question is, when should I stop the 300 milligram dose and go back down to my prescribed 100 milligrams so that I don't raise a red flag on my blood work? People think they just would need to wait for the half-life to clear, but you could still have other things that were out of range." I think he notices that. Am I right, Dave?
Yeah. It's a difficult one, and I would recommend always going a bit longer than you think you need to. Ideally, what you want to do is privately test independently away from your doctor so you can see where you are. And then that way, if you're going for your test with your doctor and you know you're not where you need to be, ring in sick.
You got to reschedule.
There's no other way of getting around it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have to sit there and your doctor and explain why your estrogen level's through the fucking roof. And this is the other problem as well. If you go to your doctor with adulterated blood and you don't explain the cause of those adulterated blood, he's going to assume that it's down to what he's doing with you.
Yeah.
And that could cause some quite severe changes. And those changes may be unnecessary and may also be harmful. You know, if you turn up with elevated test levels and you don't disclose that you've used more than you should, then he's going to cut your dose down.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to screw yourself up big time then.
So then you're going to have to then try and supplement your dose with whatever you're using to try and make your minimum. And it just all starts to become really, really messy. So, you know, I would say drop it earlier than you think. The half-life isn't really enough, and you need a bit of wiggle room because you're going to need to test your blood, see where you're at, and then see if you need to make any modifications in time for when you see your doctor for his tests.
Yeah. I've heard Dave Palumbo say that red blood cells turn over in about 4 to 5 weeks. So if your red blood count was going up, which I've had people do that where they come off the gear and then they go in to get their HRT done, and their blood levels are down, but now their hematocrit's through the roof, for instance.
Yeah, well, the other thing is just to donate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not ideal, but it's a quick fix to the problem. I mean, it is difficult, and it is a pain in the ass. But, you know, end of the day, you're asking a doctor for support and help, and then you're bastardizing what he's giving you to do.
Yeah.
So you're just going to have to be a little bit careful with it, or find a private service that accepts that you use and manages accordingly. Some do.
You guys, we have private labs, MD, and some other places you can order labs online. Can you do that there?
Yeah. The main two at the moment are MediChex and You Free Visitors, and I think there's a new one started, Truvia.
Okay.
But MediChex and Youth particularly cater towards bodybuilders and cater towards anabolic steroid users.
Okay, nice.
MediChex is just a blood testing service.
Yeah.
They have quite an extensive range, though. I mean, they do go, I think they've got well over 1,000 different tests they offer. Whereas Youth has a prescription service attached to it.
Yeah, and you do work with them, right?
I do, yes. I do work with both of them, yes. Nothing overly major, but I do have a little bit of an input with both of them. In fact, I'll be at both their stands at Body Power this year.
Oh, nice. You mentioned before that your wife may be doing phlebotomy there. Have they been looking into possibly doing that still, or you weren't
they
sure at the time?
They can't do it.
They can't?
Well, they would require an ambulance.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Because it's the environment. They would require a sterile environment with a sink.
Which
you're not going to get in the middle of an expo. So,
yeah.
Because she's actually done a phlebotomy course and is now qualified as a phlebotomist.
Good for her. That's cool.
Yeah.
So she could take a pint of blood out of you. You don't even have to leave the house. You could do it while we're doing the podcast.
I can have all my blood drawn now. Yeah. Nice. Apparently the issue is that there's certain requirements by law within the environment that is required to be able to draw blood.
Okay.
And one of those is a sink and hot water and a sterile environment, which obviously an expo couldn't offer really in the middle of a showroom floor.
No. We could offer some protein samples and protein farts, but that's about it.
An ambulance could. So, I mean, if they could, and they could get an ambulance in, you know, you can get a vehicle into the floor as it just gets brought in before the stands are built. So, if they wanted to do it, if they could get an ambulance on site, they could potentially do it.
That'd be cool, actually.
I'm not sure what's happening on that front now. I haven't really spoke to them about it. And they just told me they were going to be at Body Power and would I be there? And I said, yes. But I'm supposed to be talking at Body Power as well on steroids.
Okay.
For Body Power.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
I'm also, looks like I might be doing something with Scott as well, because Mike Ramy yesterday asking me to do the body, what was the Bodybuilding Evolution? I think it's called Underground now or something like that. But like I said, I might have got that completely wrong and dreamt that in the middle of the night. And it's probably called something completely different. But Mike rang me and said, what was I available for slot-wise? And I said, whatever you want to do. And he said, did I want to do something with Scott? And I said, well, if Scott wants to do it, I'm happy to do it.
That's awesome, man. That'll be fun. So, Scott Stevenson.
Yes. Yes. So now we just need you to turn up.
I would like to.
That laugh that means I'm not coming.
I would like to. Let me see how I'm doing on funds, but it's coming up close now. This is middle of May.
6 weeks, I think.
Yeah, we're the end of March now.
Yeah, I think it's 6 weeks, 6.5 weeks, I think it is actually.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go over there. I'd love to check it out. I'm going to try to do a few trips this year. We'll see. I have a new girlfriend. I need to think about traveling with her too.
You've just been traveling with her.
Yeah. She's actually here right now.
Is she what? As in next year?
No, she's doing research in the other room right now.
Hi.
Oh, Dave. Dave, it's good to talk to you again, man. It's been forever.
It just seemed like a long time, doesn't it?
It has. And now you're going to be traveling again next week. We're going to get this show out, though. I'll talk to you soon, though. We'll figure out when we can get together to record the next one. It sounds like you're a regular globetrotter now, so we might not be able to keep our regular schedule.
No, I should be able to. Next week shouldn't be a problem. Week after might be difficult.
Okay. All right. Well, any final parting thoughts before we take off here?
Don't eat yellow snow.
Guys, for another episode of Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland, I'm Scott McNally. We will see you soon.
Bye.
Advices Radio Network.